Ay, te via dandem manag api, even by a little fraction. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Perfect. Since Durvasa Muni wanted to chastise Maharaj Ambarish, it is to be understood that he wanted to give pain to the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the Lord says, Sadhavori dayam mayam, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. The Lord's feelings are like those of a father who feels pain when his child is in pain. Therefore, offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee are serious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very strongly recommended that one not commit any offense at the lotus feet of a devotee. Such offenses are compared to a mad elephant, because when a mad elephant enters a garden, it causes devastation. Therefore, one should be extremely careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Actually, Maharaj Ambarish was not at all at fault. Durvasa Muni unnecessarily wanted to chastise him on flimsy grounds. Maharaj Ambarish wanted to complete the Ekadasi Parana as part of devotional service to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he drank a little water. But although Durvasa Muni was a great mystic Brahman, he did not know what is what. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a so-called learned scholar of Vedic knowledge. The devotee is being always situated in the core of the Lord's heart, surely get all instructions directly from the Lord, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 10:11. Tesham eva nukamparatam aham magyanam jamtamaha nashayami atma bhavasto gyanadipena vasvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. The devotee does not do anything not sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is stated, Vaishnavira Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Nabujaya. Even the most learned or experienced person cannot understand the movements of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. No one therefore should criticize a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava knows his own business. Whatever he does is precisely right, because he is always guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om agyanati mirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bishtam shtapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakada mahyam dadati swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Banchakalpa Taro Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. So, it's a very strong bond of love between Krishna and his pure devotees. And Srila Prabhupada pointing that since the pure devotee is always within the core of Krishna's heart, when somebody offends the pure devotee, gives pain to Krishna's heart. So it is a very serious thing to offend the pure devotee. Not only pure devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that if one thinks, okay, I don't offend only pure devotees, but those who are not pure devotees, it's okay to offend them. Those who are neophyte, it doesn't matter. What? Who cares, you know? But no, he said that also, that was not pleasing to Krishna. They're trying, you know, they're trying to serve the Lord. This reminds me, when Srila Prabhupada visited our temple back in 75 in Venezuela, South America, one lady, she asked a very challenging question during the lecture. Actually, she was a impersonalist, and she will come to the temple to have arguments with the lady devotees, but she will be defeated most all the time, so she wasn't happy that she will be defeated, you know, philosophically. So when Prabhupada came, she took advantage to ask her question. And she said, she asked, why there is so much Maya in the temple? And why the devotees are funny? Funny. Not funny, but funny. It means they are not sincere, meaning they are not sincere. Yeah, they are false. They are not real. You know? They are insincere, whatever. So we were all disturbed by this question, of course. You know? But immediately Prabhupada came to defend the devotees. Prabhupada said, tell me what is that place where there is no Maya. We shall go immediately there. He said, this is Maya temple. What is there is no Maya? But Prabhupada said, no, but they, speaking about the devotees, they came to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, they are not in Maya. But because you're in Maya, you see only Maya. So in that way, Prabhupada defended the devotees. As a fact, you know, devotees, all their faults, they're trying to be Krishna conscious, try to serve Krishna. Of course, to call a thief, Prabhupada says, not offense. It's not offense. But to call a thief somebody who's not a thief, that's an offense. So we have to be careful when we say something that has to be true. But to be true is not enough. It also has to be beneficial. According to Bhagavad Gita, austerity of speech, one should speak the truth, but also should be pleasant and should be for the benefit of others. Isn't it? That's what the Bhagavad Gita explained. So sometimes people, in the name of truth, they broadcast all kind of bad things, maybe true or maybe not, about different devotees. But what is the benefit of that? What is, unless, of course, you're trying to prevent some people to be cheated by some, you know, cheater or something, that's okay. But just, you know, talk to talk, you know, is what is the benefit. To give you an idea, sometimes even can be detrimental to say the truth to your own spiritual life. I will give you an example. There was a Brahmin who was always addicted to say the truth, which is good, isn't it? It's fine. But he lacked discrimination. Not much discrimination. So one day in front of his house, he saw a family running in anxiety, like somebody was chasing them or something. And after like a couple hours, he saw like some bandits with armed, you know, passing in front of his house, and they stopped and they asked him, "Did you see a family passing through here?" "Yes." "Which road do they take, the right one or the left one?" "Oh no, they took the left one." "Okay, thank you." So they chased them and they killed them and they robbed them. So when this Brahmin died, he went to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj told him, "Because you said the truth, now you are going to hell." Because of him, if he's saying the truth, these people suffered, no? So to say the truth without discrimination, causing harm to others, is not good. One has to have discrimination. That's yes. So anyway, our attitude shall be that we shall try to find our own faults and try to correct them instead of being too eager to correct others, you know, find faults with others. There is no need to look, because it's very easy to find. Everybody has some fault. But we should try. Once I had a discussion with Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, we were discussing about this matter, that at the beginning when we joined the movement, we were so enlivened, so ecstatic, you know, so encouraged in devotional service, but then after some time that enthusiasm, you know, diminished, and we have started having difficulty and problem. Why is that? And he said that at the beginning we have great appreciation for the devotees. We see them all as, you know, very pure, very nice, no? But as soon as we start to associate more intimately with devotees, we start to see their faults and mistakes and many things. So naturally we, on our mind, or even with words, we start to criticize, you know, this devotee, this, that. So that start to create problem for us. Even if it is true. I mean, what is his name? One of the six Goswamis, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. If somebody came to him to speak about a devotee, he didn't want to hear. He said, "Even if it is true, I'm not interested to hear. Please don't tell me about it." Because devotee doesn't want to take the risk, you know, even if it is true, but he wants to be always on the safe side, that how do I know if what they're saying is true or not? But I want to be in a safe side, so I try to avoid, just in case it is not true, and I hear that and I agree with it, I will be also part of the offense. So to protect my own spiritual life, I better avoid it as much as possible. Unless it is my service to correct somebody, or try to help somebody, then it's all right, then it's okay. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? So there is, of course, in the Shastra we have some pastime describing the gravity of committing offenses. Even there is one pastime about Srila Rupa Goswami in regard to that he, before he started to write the Krishna Lila, he will enter in meditation and enter into samadhi, and he enters the Lila of the Lord in his spiritual body, you know? And he will see the Lila and he will write about it. That was his way of writing. But one day he was in deep meditation, and in this Lila Smaran, that's called Lila Smaran. One Vaishnava who had some bodily deformity came to see him, pay his respect to him. And this devotee, when he walked, all his body will be moving a little funny way, you know, he had some bodily deformity. So when he approached Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami was laughing very loudly. So this devotee felt offended. Oh, he's laughing at my bodily deformity. Now even Vaishnavas, treat you as you are the body. So anyway, he left the place disturbed. And then Rupa Goswami's meditation broke. He couldn't continue his meditation in the Leela of the Lord. And he wasn't anxious. He went to his brother, Sanatana Goswami, to ask for advice. My dear brother, I'm having this difficulty. I can't concentrate on the Leela of the Lord. I can't meditate anymore. I don't know what happened. Said, maybe unknowingly you offended some Vaishnava. All right, if surely has to be unknowingly, because I don't remember offending anyone. But what can I do to correct the situation? He said, if I don't know who he is, how can I ask forgiveness? He said, you invite all the Vaishnavas for a prasadam feast. And the person who doesn't come, that's the one who feel offended. Immediately you will know. So he did that, and exactly happened what he said, that this particular devotee didn't come. So he took Mahaprasad and went to his place and offered him the Mahaprasad and asked forgiveness. Please forgive me. Unknowingly, I offended you. Please forgive me. And the devotee said, no, please don't say like that. But to tell you the truth, yes, I felt a little disturbed because I went to see you the other day. And as soon as you... I came close to you, you start to laugh very loudly, and I thought you was laughing at my bodily deformity, and I left a little disturbed. And Rupa Goswami say, no, please don't think like that. I never laughed at you. I didn't even see you. I was with my eyes closed. I didn't want to say that, but I have to tell you the truth. What made me laugh is that I was witnessing the Leela of the Lord in my meditation, and Krishna was hiding on the branches of a tree, and Radharani came to pick some flowers from that tree, and one branch was a little high, so Krishna pushed it down with his foot so she can grab it, and she grabbed the branch and was picking the flowers, but Krishna suddenly took off his foot, and the branch jumped in the air with Radharani along with it, and that made me laugh a lot. I couldn't stop laughing at Krishna's pranks, you know. So I'm sorry, I wasn't laughing at you. Please forgive me. So the devotee, he fell at his feet. Oh, you are such a great devotee. Please, you forgive me for thinking like that. And both embraced, and you know. So in that way, you know. So just see, even unknowingly, see, some problem may come. What to speak of knowingly, purposely, of course, Lord Jesus said, you hate the sin but not the sinner. That's also important. If somebody says, did something wrong, even devotee, you say, no, this is not correct. But you don't hate the person, you wish him the best. Oh, Krishna, please help him to get better, to overcome this difficulty, like that, no? So, we have to have balance, you know? balanced knowledge how to deal practically with different situations. Of course, the devotee can be also blind, you know. One devotee was doing something very bad and the devotees around didn't do anything, didn't say anything. So Prabhupada said, it's not good to be blind. You know, something you see is wrong, it's your duty to say something, to correct it. Once Prabhupada was having a morning walk in Mayapur, and he stopped and chastised the devotees, why all these bathrooms are dirty? And the temple commander said, Prabhupada, oh, the Bengali, they don't know to use these Western toilets, you know. Okay, why you don't teach them? I want to see this immediately clean, Prabhupada said. Immediately some men can start, the body start clean. So at the Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada mentioned that if we are in the mode of ignorance and see something in the mode of ignorance, we don't react. We don't react. But if somebody is in the mode of goodness and sees something in the mode of ignorance, immediately he reacts. No, this is wrong. So we have to have balance. Balance means we have to know when it is offense and when it is necessary to say something, to correct something, without desire to offend anyone, or just, you know, even if we see somebody doing something wrong, Krishna is teaching us what we should be careful to avoid ourselves, without, you know, thinking badly about anyone. So here Krishna is telling Durvasa Muni that you are giving pain to my heart, and that's why I send the Sudarshan Chakra to protect my devotee. Even me can't protect you from it. Only if you go back and ask forgiveness from the my devotee who you offended, then only you will be protected. There is no other way. And what was the fault on Maharaj Ambarish? He only wanted to follow the Ekadasi Parana, means the time for breaking Ekadasi is also very important. Not only the follow Ekadasi itself, but the timing of breaking Ekadasi is also very, very important according to this pastime. And of course, Maharaj Ambarish, he was doing Nirjala Ekadasi. For 1 year he did Nirjala Ekadasi. So on Dwadasi came Durvasa Muni to visit his palace that was in Mathura. And he greeted the sage with nice words and welcomed him and asked the sage if he wanted to take his bath in the Yamuna and then come and have prasad. The sage agreed. But Durvasa was taking long time in the Yamuna. So, and the time for breaking the Ekadasi was nearing end. So he asked the Brahman what to do, you know. Please advise me, what should I do? And they advised, okay, you just drink only water. Because water is like breaking and no breaking. Fast. I mean, if you do Nirjal Ekadasi, the next day you can break the Ekadasi just by drinking water. You don't need to eat even grain if you don't want. Just drinking water is enough to break the Ekadasi, according to the Shastra. So, on flimsy ground, he became very angry, you know, because he's proud of his. I'm big mystic yogi, I have so much power, so how he dare to? He's a grihastha kshatriya, you know, I am Brahmin, you know, renounced. How he dare to do such thing? And he became angry, unnecessarily. So that gave pain to Krishna's heart, and that's why he got himself in big trouble. But fortunately for him, he rectified this. So to commit mistakes is human, to err is human, but to correct them is wise. I don't know how saying goes exactly. To forgive, okay, to err is human, to forgive is divine. But also there is a similar saying that says, to err is human, but to correct it is is wise. Different two sayings. Anyway, so we have to be careful in that regard and follow, you know, the example. You know, so many wonderful stories in the Shastra teaching us how to deal in our daily life in different situations with different people, different devotees. So we have to learn from this. Even Lord Chaitanya, he also, although he preached Trinada Pi Sunichena, one has to be very humble, very tolerant. When Nityananda Prabhu was attacked by Madai, he became very angry. He was going to kill the offenders with the Sudarshan Chakra. Nityananda Prabhu had to remind him, no, my dear Lord, in this incarnation, your mission is not to kill the demons, but to convert them to devotees. Please, forgive them. He said, no, I will forgive only Jagai, but not Madai. Because Jagai tried to stop Madai's hand when he wanted to beat Nityananda for the second time. He tried to stop him. No. Don't you see he's a saintly person, although you hit him, he still is asking you to chant the holy name. So anyway, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and by their remorse and their surrender to the Lord, he forgave them. There's also a story of Haridas Thakur. He was in the assembly of Brahmins and he was speaking about the glories of the holy name. And he was saying that even Namabhasa, offenseless chanting, or the clearing stage, almost without offenses, the person get liberated just by this chanting. And one Brahmin protested. He said, no, this is exaggeration. The Shastra say you have to go so many austerities, so many penances to get liberated. And you are saying just by chanting this name, you know, with a little attention, you get liberation? I don't accept that. And he said something like, because you're saying something, the Brahmin, they're not true, you will lose your own nose or something. And Haridas Thakur said, if I am saying what I'm saying is not true, I myself will cut my own nose. So what happened is that Brahmin, he got sick, he got leprosy, and he lost his own nose, melted, disappeared. What is the name of that person? Gopal Chapal. And he later, you know, came to his senses and asked forgiveness from Haridas Thakur, and he was forgiven and he was cured from his disease. So devotees are compassionate, and they are ready to forgive anyone who is willing to be forgiven. And the devotee also want to be careful not to offend anyone so that he would not get in trouble in his own spiritual life. So, and in the contrary, the attitude of pleasing the Vaishnavas and serving the Vaishnavas is very, very important for advancing in spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized three very important things. Nama Ruchi, Jivedaya, and Vaishnava Seva. Nam Ruchi is developing taste for chanting the holy name. It's very, very important to develop taste for chanting. And Jivedaya means to show compassion for the fallen souls, the Jivas. Do something to help them. Jivedaya and Vaishnava Seva, serving the Vaishnavas. There was one devotee of Lord Chaitanya named Kalidas, and he was addicted to serve prasad to the devotees. And he would invite all kinds of devotees, and he served them with his own hand, the prasad. And after they will leave, he will eat the remnants of all of them. Doesn't matter if they are advanced or neophyte, all of them he will eat the remnants. He was living in Navadvip. One day he went to see one great devotee named Mamu Thakur. He was Grihastha, living with wife. And he went and brought him some mangoes as a gift. And the devotee didn't want to accept. No, 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 you are a Brahmin, I am a Sudra, how can you serve me? I shall serve you. And Kalidas said, no, no, you are deceiving me. You are a pure devotee of the Lord. You are above this Varnashram, you know. So please accept this gift. This is for your Thakurji you offer to your deities, and please accept. And they exchange nice words of appreciation between them. Prabhupada said that appreciation between devotees create a Vaikuntha atmosphere in the temple. So appreciation is very, very important also amongst devotees. So after he left, Mamu Thakur went inside the house and he offered to his deity those mangoes. And he sat down with his wife and they were eating the mangoes. And after they finished eating the mangoes, the wife took all the pills and the seeds and threw them out of the house. That was also a Vedic custom. They will never keep any organic left over in the house. They will not leave it overnight in the house. They will take it out immediately. Once Prabhupada chastised one of his servants for keeping whatever he left from cutting vegetables and fruit overnight in the room, he said, no, this is not clean, you have to throw them immediately out. Of course, nowadays maybe not more difficult to do this, but you know, whatever. That was the Vedic standard, at least. Anyway, Kalidas was hiding behind the tree, waiting for that moment. And when the Mataji went back to her home, he came out of his hiding, and from the garbage can, he started to suck all the mangoes and the pills, and in much happiness, crying in happiness, you know. So he went to Jagannath Puri with the devotees for Ratha Yatra. And before Ratha Yatra, of course, a few days before, he was accompanying Lord Chaitanya every day to have darshan of Lord Jagannath at the temple. And before entering the temple, Lord Chaitanya, one devotee will come and wash his feet to enter the temple. But the Lord prohibited anyone to touch this water. More than one wanted, you know, to drink this Charanamrita, but the Lord forbade any devotee, and nobody dared to do it, since the Lord gave, you know, the order not to do it. But this Kalidas, one day, he jumped and put his hand beneath the lotus feet of the Lord and started to drink 1, 2, 3 times the Charanamrita. And then the Lord stopped him. Okay, you fulfilled your heart desire. You drank 3 times. That's enough. No more. Although the Lord externally showed to be a little angry, but internally he was satisfied with Kalidas because of his service attitude toward the Vaishnavas, his appreciation of the Vaishnavas. So the Lord allowed him to do it. No other one, only him. So when the Lord, actually the Lord wants to serve his own pure devotees, but because the devotees will not allow that, if somebody else tries to serve his own devotees, the Lord is very pleased with that person. And if somebody tries to give pain to his devotees, that gives pain to Krishna's heart. So the word aparadha means to be separated from Radha. from the service of Radha. Radha is the mother of devotion, of pure devotional service. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was very sick and he was in Puri, and some devotees came to visit him there. And one devotee in charge of a temple, he started to discuss managerial problems with his Guru Maharaj. And one sannyasi there got disturbed that Guru Maharaj is sick. Why is bringing these managerial problems and things like that? So he complained to another sannyasi, why this devotee did like that? This is not right. And the other sannyasi told him, no, you should understand. For our Guru Maharaj, this is very important business. Because to take care of Krishna's household, that's Radharani's service. That all, everything in Krishna's house nicely kept, his cooking, his cleaning, everything, his worship, everything is kept nicely. That is Radharani's service. And if somebody doing that and discuss how to do it nicely, what the difficulty to solve to do it better, that is very important for our Guru Maharaj. It's Radharani's service. It's not any ordinary thing to manage a service of the Lord in the temple. It's a very, very spiritual, very important. So he was very much pleased to hear that. So the vision, the spiritual vision develops when the heart starts to get purified and when we start to see everything related to Krishna. In that way, we become very careful not to offend anyone, especially devotees, pure devotees. And at the same time, if we say something which is wrong about a devotee, should not be done with the spirit of just criticism, but with the spirit to understand that we should avoid these things ourselves. And if we can help the devotee overcome this, then we should try to speak to him about Krishna, about devotional service, not just, you know, pointing out the mistake alone. So anyway, since I was asked to speak about a little bit about traveling and preaching, I don't like to speak much about, you know, my own activities, although this is of course it's related to devotional service, you know, Prabhupada's mission. He wanted that the Krishna consciousness be broadcasted all over the world, so we're trying to do a little grain of sand in that way. And Krishna consciousness, I just came from a tour in Peru, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and very, very enlivening to see devotees everywhere making, you know, an effort to preach and to practice Krishna consciousness. And of course, we went to many programs, Harinams, and people, you know, very enthusiastic, and went to Paraguay for the first time, and we went in Harinam in one city called Ciudad del Este, which is, and we went to a place which was super packed with people. You can hardly walk, and we had to go do Harinam between, you know, all this crowded place and very hot, and but people were clapping and chanting. We went to inside the mall, and the guards, the police guards there, they didn't know what to do. You know, we're doing big, loud kirtan inside the mall. Even inside the shops, we went inside the shops, and people were clapping, the workers there. You know, so people in South America are very pious. They allow you this. You can't do these things here in America. You will go to jail maybe. But you know, they're very simple and pious people. They allow you to do anything you want, you know. So that was very nice. And I gave a few seminars to devotees about Prabhupada's visit to Venezuela and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and Krishna Lila, like that, in different places. And Mexico, what to speak of Mexico? Mexico's amazing preaching. Recently I was there and one university invited us for a program, cultural program, about spiritual India, and we took over the university for 3 days. They gave us all the cultural section, which was huge. And we had plays, Bharatanatyam, you know, theater, book tables, kirtan, bhajans, movie display. We showed the movie about the Ganga River. And we have seminars. We have cooking class. I mean, was amazing. And the director's wife, she went visit India. She knew about these things. She was there all every day. He also came. And he said, I'm completely amazed. I was expecting some people will come and stay a little while and go. But no, the people will come by hundreds. And they will stay 5-6 hours with the devotees without leaving. They could not leave. And when we ended up with a big kirtan, and they will take out all the chairs, and everybody stand up and start to dance. So it was very, very enlivening. And they paid for the devotees' stay and prasad and everything. And they want that we teach Vedic knowledge, to give like a cathedra of Vedic knowledge for 8 months. They wanted us to give, you know. So we are preparing now all these things to present to them. You know. So, and another town, they offered, you know, the what you call the major of the town. He offered us a big square, and they put the stage, lights. They paid for our stay in hotel. They gave us money for cook prasad for ourselves and to distribute to people too. I mean, amazing. Huh? All this, Krishna's give all kinds of facilities when devotees want to do some service for the Lord. Immediately facilities, you know, some or other come. And this way, everywhere, you know, Krishna consciousness is expanding, and devotees struggling to keep their own practices and try to share it with others, the Krishna. So it's wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be alive, to be active, to be there in the field and try to do something to please Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any comments or questions? Okay. Yes, Prabhu Lilananda. By the way, Lilananda Prabhu is my very nice, good host, you know, very, very good. Wonderful devotee, Hare Krishna. Yes. 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 Yes, that's important. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that if you just point the fall down of your brother, but without time to talk to him, to speak to him about devotional service, about the Lord, is not real friendship, you know, it's not real compassion. So it has to be balanced, you know. One has to be well-wisher. I mean, Lord Jesus taught his followers, you should love even your enemies. Means you wish them the best, that they rectify themselves, they become, you know, God-conscious. So we should wish the best for everyone. Even devotees having difficulty, we should pray to Krishna, please help them to overcome those difficulties and be rightly situated. So that should be the mood, the attitude, that we wish everyone the best. Even those who are inimical, we should wish them the best to be Krishna. They also be helped to be overcome those shortcomings and misgiving. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, one has to be humble enough to accept one's mistakes. If somebody is telling you, I hear Linda Prabhu told me the other day that Bhaktitirtha Swami, he was staying at his house, and he asked him one day, please tell me some mistake I'm doing to correct it. No, please, I want you to tell me. I have something I'm doing wrong, I have to, you know. So he was asking for it. So it's good, one has to be self-critical and try to improve oneself, and one should be ready to hear from others if they have something to tell you to correct, and that's very welcome, should be very welcome. Not the attitude, why you're criticizing me, this is, you're offended. Shouldn't be that's pride, you know. All right. Yes, Prabhu Atya Maharaj. Okay, I translate for your question. Sí. Sí. Okay. Bueno. He asking the question that sometime some people maybe criticize that in ISKCON there is no bhakti, you know, no, there is no devotion or something. Yeah. But we see that devotee chanting very nicely with devotion, you know, and how is that? Well, people always will criticize something, you know. We don't know. Maybe we should take it, yes, maybe I don't have enough bhakti, I should try to develop more bhakti. Why I should feel offended if somebody say I don't have bhakti? Yes, true, I don't have any bhakti. I should, maybe others may have, but not me, you know. Maybe other devotees may have, that's, you know. But I say not everyone, then we should not accept that. Of course we don't accept that. Yeah, whatever it is, it's political, you know, to speak about institution is politics, you know. How we can put everybody in the same, you know, the same sack, you know. If there are problems in ISKCON, we agree, yeah. Many fall down, many problems, we agree. But doesn't mean everyone is like that. So to say that all ISKCON is bad, that's politics. You don't know people, you know, there are many nice devotees in ISKCON, so many sincere devotees. So you have to have a balanced, you know, vision. Otherwise, it's politics, just to attract people, you know, to go to you, not to ISKCON. Is it? I mean, to speak frankly, I hope I'm not offending anyone here, Hare Krishna. We just don't take it seriously. That's all. Yeah, you should not take it seriously. Okay? We don't agree. And that's it. We don't want to hear, you know, something like that. That's all. Yes, Prabhu. I respectfully disagree. Yes, that's what we shall do. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Hare Bol. Hare Krishna.